Where Dorothy Lamour lives eternally. Where John Hall clings to palm trees and the wind blows, and his hair never gets mussed. Where there are heavenly flowers, Maui no ka oe. How would you like to go to a great school when you're a kid? That's in a tropical paradise. Compare this with your school. I went to the Warren G. Harding School. It was on the one side bounded by a dump and on the other side a four-mile-long swamp filled with dead frogs and moose. This is a grade school on the island of Maui where kids never have seen a snowflake. And there's never a discouraging word. And they don't sing songs about taking a trip to Indianapolis. Maui no ka oe. Crosby sings on from the top of the refrigerator. Sweet Leilani, heavenly flower. Oh. And now the big moment at the luau. There's Clarence with his polar bear cap. Digging away. Big old Tom.
And little instrument.
You can just feel the excitement in the air.
I wonder.
That steam rising from the ground. That volcanic soil. About 30 yards away, the surf roaring in. McKenna Point. John Luhuai and the family gathered to celebrate a third birthday. The pig. 150 pounds of roast pork. Been roasting quietly there now for 6 hours. That's little Mabel. 1 year and a half. Celebrating a luau.
Ripens. That's a sun-ripened pineapple. This baby was in a field about 20 minutes ago, and it's still warm from the sun.
Look at that juice coming out. Look at that.
Woo-hoo!
Oh. You know, I'll tell you, if you've never had a field-ripened pineapple, you have never tasted pineapple. This is fantastic. This, by the way, is a Japanese pineapple knife, which is probably the most popular utensil on the entire island of Maui, with the possible exception of a swizzle stick. And incidentally, they're generally used together. I mean, you know, the swizzle stick. They use pineapples in everything here. You eat them, you throw them, you put them in your drinks, you live with them. Some natives even marry them. This is a beautiful one. It's time for lunch. I'm going to cut off a chunk of this now. See, here's the way you do it now. Then you just cut this off like this, see? Watch this. Move it around like that, see? This is a trick that we islanders learn early in our lives, you know? like opening a can of beer back on the mainland. There. There's a slice of magnificent pineapple. How do you like this beach? It's one of the five great beaches of the world. You know, if you're a beach cuckoo, you've probably heard about this beach. This is the beach at Honolulu, which is considered one of the greatest beaches, certainly in the Hawaiian Islands, and quite possibly the entire world. What a fantastic beach. There's hardly a soul here. And it's on the island of Maui. It's about, maybe 10, 15 minutes outside of the town of Lahaina. Lahaina town. Lahaina town, rather. Lahaina.
Right on the coast. You know, I'm sitting here at this beach. My old man would flip if he saw me sitting on the beach at Honolulu. Because he was a fantastic beach cuckoo. I mean, you know, some guys love the forests. Other guys love mountains. Other guys love cars. Well, my old man, his idea of total heaven was a beach. And as a matter of fact, I suspect there are a lot of people who think of heaven as that way. You know, just an endless white beach. Nothing but rolling surf. Sun beating down. Oh, he'd flip if he saw me here. Take a look at those surfers over there. Boy, now there's a sport for you. And you know, like all great beach cuckoos, my old man was a specialist, you know, in water sports. And today everybody's a specialist. You know, you get guys that are snorkelers, scuba divers, people who go out after coral. Nobody just goes and sits on a beach anymore, you know. Underwater people, guys that are long-distance swimmers. Boy, look at those surfers out there. Well, my old man was a specialist. As a matter of fact, he was one of the great performers of all time in his specialty. He was ahead of his time. Oh, he was fantastic. He had a specialty that in his day and place really had meaning. Yeah. Oh, pineapple's fantastic. My old man's specialty was the inner tube. He was the greatest inner tube man of his day. And there used to be a lot of arguments, you know, among inner tube men as to what was the best inner tube for long distance work or for short distance freestyle inner tube work. As a matter of fact, my old man was a stunt inner tube man. He used to do a lot of stunting in his inner tube. And he always felt that the Allstate Sears Roebuck inner tube was the best all around inner tube for stunt work. Although he used to admit that the Firestone was a good long distance inner tube. He was strictly an Allstate man. And he used to keep his inner tube down in the basement, in a special place, see, when he wasn't performing. And it was a great inner tube. It was a size 660 by 16, you know, big, fat, brown inner tube. And it was covered completely with patches. Must have had 500 patches on it, see, you know, green, yellow, red. That baby was vulcanized so much you could hardly see the original rubber, which was black. And I could still see him now when he was at the height of his powers, when he was really working. The old man lay back in the inner tube, you know. He'd look around. He always wore a straw hat when he was doing his top stunt work. Lay back there. The sun would blow him, you know, the wind. He's moving up and down. And he'd wave into the beach. Hi, King! Floating in the sun. And he would sing. One of the very few inner tube men who, while he was working in the inner tube, also played the ukulele and sang. Very good. He used to sing, Red Sails in the Sunset, la da 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 da. And none of us could touch his inner tube. My kid brother, me, that inner tube was his. And you know how kids are, they get proud of their old man. I used to think he could do anything. I wonder how many of you feel that about your old man. You know, he could do anything. He was like a god. He could hurl thunderbolts if he wanted to, see? I'll never forget his finest day as an inner tube man. We used to live about a mile from Lake Michigan. And our beach was right in between a soap factory, three steel mills, a foundry, and a place that made cooking oil. That was the beach. And the water would come in, you see, in these slow, undulating waves. And on top of the water was this thick crud of detergent, used cooking oil, floating beer cans, blast furnace dust. In fact, on that beach, walking on water was not much of a miracle. And, you know, you could just walk out maybe 20, 30 feet and never get your feet wet, just walk on the surface. And it was always along the beach, there was always an incrustation of dead yellow perch. You know, who finally gave up and says, oh, forget it, and they floated into the shore. And that was the old man's beach. He'd love it. He'd come running down the sand. His inner tube was all blown up, ready for action. He'd wade out into that crud, and he would launch his inner tube. He'd just push it out. And, you know, there's a trick in getting into an inner tube. And he would slowly lower himself into the inner tube. Me and my kid brother would watch him. What a great performer. They don't make them like that anymore, you know. I mean, real serious performers. And then came that day. I'll never forget that. The day that he reached his finest hour, and at the same time, it was the blackest day of his beach life. We were all sitting around a beach, see, just like this, a nice day. A few dead fish, a couple of dead toads over there. There you can see a beer can out there. And the old man launches his inner tube, just like any other day, see? He gets about 15, maybe 30, 40 feet offshore, floating real good. Sun was shining, and he made a classic mistake that all performers make once in their life. I mean, there's not a surfer out here today who hasn't made a classic one mistake in his life, which he regrets as a surfer. This was the old man's big mistake. Never forget it. It became a family legend, in fact. I could see him now. He floated out about 15, 20, 30 feet. My mother, she takes out the picnic basket, you know, breaks out the potato salad. We had, you know, the usual picnic stuff, potato salad, hot dogs, Twinkies. I was in the middle of my Twinkie stage. The old man's freezer full of beer is sitting over there, which kept him going as a performer. He needed that. And she's fixing up the lunch, and all of a sudden she says, where's your dad? My kid brother says, he's out there. And he was. He had been caught by an undertow. And he was floating out to sea. Well, we ran down to the beach. You know, the kids, oh, there was a lot of people out there. Hey, Dad! Dad! Come back! Hey, Dad! Your brother started to cry. And the whole crowd on the beach, 12,000 of them, rushed down to the water. And they were looking out with fantastic horror because a tremendous current had caught the old man, and now he's about a half a mile out to sea. He's floating all the way to Manistee, Michigan. And he doesn't even know it. You can hear his ukulele playing. He's waving his straw hat. Red sails in the sunset. You can hear him singing. All of a sudden, this lifeguard jumps down from his lifeguard tower. He says, what's that idiot doing out there? He's talking about my dad. But then he takes a boat. And he turns on the motor and he rushes out all the way out to where the old man was. The old man doesn't even know it yet. He gets about 50 feet from the old man and he hollers, hey, you fool, what are you doing? He made his classic mistake. He never forgot it. In fact, I think it was at that moment that his life began to go downhill. He stood up in his inner tube. That's the one thing you don't do in an inner tube. There was a brief pause, and then it went clunk. You could see a big column of water. And there's nothing but his straw hat floating with the inner tube. The lifeguard dove in. And a couple of seconds later, he's got back in the boat. You could see the old man. He looked littler somehow. And the waves had taken his inner tube out. 5 minutes later, he's on the beach, and thousands of people are standing around watching. And that lifeguard, he's a big, tall guy, you know, with wavy blonde hair. But 22 years old, he plays tackle for the Chicago Bears. It's on his off-season scene. He looks at the old man and he says, that was the dumbest thing I ever saw anybody do! What are you trying to do, you nut? The old man didn't say nothing. He just sat down. Said to my mother, how about some potato salad? He never got in an inner tube again. It's the end of his career. And even to this day, I can see that inner tube. When I look out to sea,
could see it floating off into the horizon, endlessly. And I remember the day the old man ended his career. There's nothing better than Maui.